Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on a pro football focus of the PFF NFL podcast. Steve Palazzolo joins us now. Steve, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I guess we should probably start with, as it was the most recent thing that happened, how does PFF feel about the Browns draft?
I think, PFF, I didn't do the grade, but our grade was a C-plus for the Browns. I think it was one of the lowest that we put out there. So it was based off the draft board and where guys went. I liked Michael Hall Jr. for sure as that second rounder. I thought that was a good spot to pick him up. Jamari Thrash, I think, has some value in the fifth round. Zach Zinter coming off, when he gets healthy coming off of his injury, definitely adds some depth. I think a lot of the draft grades, not just the PFF, but everywhere, are going to say, okay, they're biased toward number of picks. So you only have six picks. You don't have a first rounder. And there's only, two picks before the fifth round. So I think at the end of the day, most people look and say, hey, how much talent was added? And it was, a challenge for the Browns to add a ton of talent given the draft capital that they had.
So given that draft capital, this is the last time you don't have a first-round pick, again, because of the Deshaun Watson deal. Andrew Berry's had two first-round picks and five drafts as a GM. When you look at the Browns roster, do you think they've done a good job of maximizing assets without having a first-round pick for the last 3 years?
Yeah, that's the other side of this, too. I think, again, a lot of post-draft analysis is probably biased a little bit when you say, hey, I know this guy is going to go and play, or I really like this guy and he's going to contribute right away. The Browns, I think, have built very good depth to the point where they don't necessarily need to draft players that are going to contribute right away. So when you see a Michael Hall Jr. come in and you're like, all right, he's going to be in the rotation with Shelby Harris and Dalvin Tomlinson and Maurice Hurst, right? He's just going to be a part of that defensive line rotation. We don't have to ask as much of him right now. Zach Zinter can essentially be a redshirt candidate and just develop, and we don't need him to contribute right away. And I think that is because the Browns, when you go position by position from offensive line to the pass catchers, the running back room, especially when Nick Chubb's back healthy, the secondary, the defensive line, especially what they've done on the defensive line the last 2 years, I'm very impressed with the depth that has been developed by the Browns, and the fact that, when other teams go into the draft, they might need three or four spots that have to be filled, that where they need guys that can contribute right away. And I don't think the Browns have been in that position really the last couple seasons.
When you look at this roster right now, Steve, as it stands, is it a top five, top seven roster in the league?
Yeah, I've off the top of my head, I think it's probably in that range. I think a lot depends on what you think of the Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy that combination, and what you think of them as players. When I evaluate rosters, obviously the quarterback is the biggest driver for anything. Then I look at the pass catchers. I think they've got the second biggest impact besides the quarterback. I make sure that the offensive line is in good enough shape, and I think the Browns have one of the better offensive line units in the league again this season. But to me, it comes down to, you know, Amari Cooper has done a really nice job throughout his career, but he's also gotten to a point in pretty much every place, from the Raiders to Dallas. Does he wear out his welcome a little bit? Does he leave you wanting a little bit more? I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's like that wide receiver one impact of an A.J. Brown or a Tyreek Hill, but he's very good. And Judy is almost on his way to a similar career where you see the flashes, you see the route running. Every now and again, he'll make great plays at the catch point, but is he going to do that consistently enough? I think if those guys, you know, play to their potential, the Browns are in that top 5 to 7 range because of the depth everywhere. But again, I just think those receivers have a lot of pressure on them. And I want to just reiterate the defensive line, where just 2 years ago, it felt like it was Myles Garrett and just, you know, some average play from Jadeveon Clowney. They have loaded up these last couple of years and made the defensive line into a strength. So I think those are all good places to be strong, and does make the Browns one of the better rosters in the league if you take out the quarterback play, which again has been inconsistent and, you know, uneven, basically.
I'm glad you mentioned trying to forecast and project a team where you just don't know a quarterback, and yet it's wild. Like most teams, because aren't dealing with quarterback injuries back to back years, so most teams you don't have like a foundation of, well, this roster succeeded with 5 different quarterbacks a year before and won 11 games and went to the playoffs. Like, does that change how you project this team, knowing that, yeah, there's, you know, concerns about Deshaun's health, but they were able to win 11 games last year and have a lot of success in spite of that uncertainty at quarterback?
Yeah, I think when I try to analyze things, I try not to just overreact to the last thing that I saw. The opposite of what I think most analysts do. There's a lot of merit in what the Browns did last year as far as winning with all of the different QBs. They got a different style of play with Joe Flacco down the stretch. I don't think he was great, but I thought he was good for what they had. He was very aggressive. He got away with some stuff, but he also just gave those playmakers an opportunity to make plays. David Njoku looking like a Hall of Famer for a few weeks. So I just think they got what they needed at the quarterback position down the stretch with Flacco. But yeah, I think that's them having all that success with the uneven play at quarterback, absolutely, I think is a testament to the roster. I think my concerns would be, can they match the same level of production on the defensive side of the ball? I think that ran out, you know, in the playoffs against the Texans. I don't know if they were as good as the numbers showed last year. I thought, you know, they, again, coverage-wise, I thought they did a really nice job making life difficult for opposing quarterbacks. They rushed the passer extremely well. I just don't know if you're going to get that same level of production from the defense. It's really tough to do that year over year. But like I said, top to bottom, it's a good roster. They're in good position, and we'll see if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy, put together a full season, and actually turn the corner in how he's played, because we still haven't really seen anything close to his level when he was with Houston.
Steve, it feels like these last couple of years, ever since the Browns crawled out of the basement dweller of the NFL in the last 4 years, I mean, their low point is previously their high point, right? Like 2 years ago, they won 7 games, and 10 years ago, we celebrated that like it was a Super Bowl. So, but since then, the AFC North has taken on this reputation as being 4 deep, as the most loaded and toughest division in the NFL. I don't know what turned out to be that same thing last year because of quarterback injuries, but I'm curious, do you look at the way these 4 teams are on paper and see another instance of the AFC North is the deepest and toughest division in the NFL?
Yeah, I think all 4 teams have done a great job of team building the last couple of years. Of course, the Bengals, you need a little bit of luck, but they have Joe Burrow, so he's always going to be a game changer. And I think that's having an effect on the rest of the team, and they're going to be able to keep guys like Jamar Chase there. So they'll always have that nucleus with Burrow, and they've been just such a good team the last couple of years, even with the QB injury with Jake Browning coming in last year, just being really competitive. And so, yeah, I don't see the Bengals going anywhere. The Ravens have been one of the smarter organizations for years now. Lamar Jackson making everything tick there, but they also do a great job building depth on both sides of the ball. And the Steelers, another interesting situation because they haven't figured out quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired, but I think they've done a better job of building the roster. I mean, they were 11-0 at one point in 2020, and I think the roster now is better than what they had back then. I thought they were, you know, they kind of went downhill from a record standpoint since then, but I think they've built the rest of the roster up much better in Pittsburgh. And now it's just a matter of, hey, what are they going to get out of Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields? So, yeah, I think the AFC North is loaded again. I think the NFC North might give them a run with Caleb Williams coming in with the Bears, the way the Packers are young and Jordan Love's there and the Lions look great and Vikings will be competitive. But right now I'd say the AFC North top to bottom absolutely looks like the best division in football.
You know, the other day, I think it was yesterday, actually, Brian Baldinger said that he thinks Russell Wilson's going to have a resurgence in Pittsburgh. He could throw over 30 touchdowns. I'm not sure I believe that. Certainly possible. Do you think that's possible, and do you like that move for Pittsburgh?
I mean, anything's possible. I don't think Russell Wilson was as bad as it felt 2 years ago when Nathaniel Hackett was there. I don't think Russell Wilson was as good as the stats showed last year. I still think you're missing something there. And if there was one superpower that maybe Pete Carroll in Seattle had is really knowing Russell Wilson's strengths and weaknesses. And when people in Seattle kept begging Pete to let Russ cook and throw more, I think he knew you want him throwing, you know, 25, 30 times a game, not 35 to 40 times a game. I think they knew what the right balance was. So I think that's the challenge in Pittsburgh is, not trying to turn Russell Wilson into something that he's not trying to work quick game and, you know, pass to set up the run, but really running to set up the pass. And I think Pittsburgh, I will say, is equipped to do that, right? They just spent three of their top five picks on offensive linemen, already had a pretty decent offensive line, I think. They've got the two-headed monster in the backfield at running back that are still pretty good. So I do think Pittsburgh will put Russ in a better position to succeed. I don't know if he's a 30-touchdown guy or whatever it might be, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has his best season since 2020, when that was the last time I think we saw Russell Wilson as a top, you know, 5 to 8, 10 quarterback, whatever it is. He hasn't been anything close to that the last few years. Wouldn't be surprised if he had a resurgence, but I don't think we see a top five QB again necessarily in Russell Wilson.
Steve, at this point in the offseason, unless a team has had a step back record-wise, no matter what their offseason is, we always expect them to be as good as they were a year before. So I'm referencing a team like Buffalo, and they have changed a lot. And there was kind of a slow disintegration of depth on the D-line, a few things over the last couple of years. Well, this was the most significant, three significant defensive backs off the roster, more changes across the ball. Are the Bills a playoff contender still after all the changes, or is this just...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Because Josh Allen's really good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're still a playoff contender. I mean, they're still, I think, the best team in the AFC East. And it's going to start with Josh Allen and that baseline. Now, there's a little bit of an old school feel to this. I think years ago or earlier in the salary cap era, or you might just look at the New England Patriots, there were teams that just got younger in seasons, right? In off seasons. They just said it. And I think as sports fans, we would say, wow, that's crazy. All these big name players left. But it kind of became the norm for football for a while where you just said, hey, in year 7 or 8 as a football player, sometimes you're not as good. And the name doesn't match the production. And that used to happen, I think, a lot more often. And now, because we're the Bills' expectation isn't the playoffs, it's the Super Bowl. So this feels more uncomfortable for the Bills. It's like, wow, they just had all these veterans. They had this turnover. And I guess my point is, this used to happen all the time, and teams would get away with it, so to speak, right? They would develop younger players, and they would get out of contracts a year early. So whether it's Mitch Morse at center or Tre'Davious White at corner, I mean, it doesn't feel great if you're a Bills fan, probably, but it's just the cycle of the NFL. Now, my concern with the Bills is that receiver. As I said, when I evaluate rosters, I want to know the pass catchers. And they've had a very good group there with Stephon Diggs the last couple of years, and it's dwindled a little bit. But, you know, having the good pass catchers, that's what coincided with Josh Allen's rise to superstardom. So I think that would be the concern for Buffalo. I'm not as concerned with all the turnover. I think they do have a good young group. I think Allen has the nucleus there. They have plenty of ways to win. It's just a matter of their standard is we need to beat the Chiefs. We need to compete with the Bengals and the Ravens and the teams that will be the best teams that have these high-end quarterbacks. And I think that's where the Bills still might be either in a similar spot as last year or maybe a step worse. But they're certainly, to me, the best team in the AFC East still.
Steve, we appreciate your time, buddy. Good stuff. And enjoy the calm before the storm that is training camp. It's really only 2.5 months away, and we know how the summer flies, my friend.
Yeah, so enjoy a little bit of downtime before it's training camp time. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much. Steve Palazzolo there of PFF. I think that is a significant bone that I have to pick with how we assess rosters in the NFL. Like, I don't think the Browns have gotten credit for what they've done with this roster. And if you look at it, I mean, I know we've said this. There was a moment where post the tanking thing, we judged the quality of the Browns roster by how many upper echelon players that we had. And that is one way to gauge it. And then we gauged it with how well we thought how good of a quarterback we thought Baker was. But I think the third way that you can gauge something is how deep are you? And I don't mean just like, do you have 53 legitimate football players? But I mean, like, do you have 53, like, guys that could compete and give you moments and give you at least rotational production? And I think from that standpoint, I think this Browns team as of right now is the deepest Browns team we've had in my recollection. And I think that really goes a long way to setting up how I think they're going to do next year or this year.
So in terms of this season, Nick, do you think that they're going to be a team that's going to win the division?
I think they have a real chance to win this division.
Because I know you've talked about this. You think this division is not as good as maybe some people think it is.
I probably could put this better. I shouldn't be putting it like that. I just think there are a lot more questions about this division than we realize. Joe Burrow's health. Guys, the same conversations we have about Deshaun, we should be having about Joe, who's had a lot of health issues in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And if he, I think they showed last year, Joe Burrow magic is the magic for Cincinnati. Like that roster is no longer capable of succeeding without Joe. It's all on Joe. It's like Buffalo.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen misses four games, that's the difference between Buffalo being the best team in the AFC East and not. The Browns are the rare team you can point to and go, hey, that's not necessarily the case here. But so like I've got a significant question about Cincinnati, which is Joe Burrow's health. That defense is not what that defense was when they went to the Super Bowl. Oh, and the offensive line is still booty cheeks until proven otherwise. And, okay, now let's go to Baltimore. Baltimore was the best team in the division last year. You look at the difference. What, two wins difference between the Browns and the Ravens? One of those teams had a quarterback for 17 games. The other had five different quarterbacks. So I don't know that the difference between Cleveland and Baltimore was that significant. Last year, they lost Jadeveon Clowney. They lost Geno Stone. They lost four or five guys off that defense. Patrick Queen, they lost. And this was already a team that was, I don't want to say incomplete, but maybe was starting to show signs in some of their key points of aging otherwise. Mm. So Baltimore, the best team last year. That's a real question. Although I do like, yet again, they added another wide receiver I like, and damn them for that. Pittsburgh, Hypothetically, I get it. Like, well, you got Russ. If you can just turn it into a very simple offense, ground and pound offense with, you know, situational passing by Russ, you could win a lot. Back seven, we'll see about the middle linebackers, but the secondary's been the secondary for a while. We'll see if they have any truly transcendent production from Pickens, Freiermuth, or the running backs. So, like, yeah, I kind of like all four teams on paper. I think I can also pick apart their rosters now more than I could have a year ago. Is that fair? So it's not that I'm certain the AFC North is going to suck or be worse than it was last year.
Is it more about, like, this division? I think people look at the AFC North and say, hey, they're a really, really talented division. But is it because of the quarterbacks?
Yes and no. For three of the four teams, it's quarterbacks. And for all four teams, actually, no. The only question I have about the Browns is, can Deshaun stay healthy? But that does, just if the answer is no, I don't think it's fait accompli, they won't win. Whereas if Joe doesn't stay healthy, Cincinnati doesn't have a chance in this division. If Russ or Justin Fields cannot solve that quarterback conundrum across 17 games, they're not going to win in this division. And that's before we get to, well, what about the secondary? That's before we get to, do they have truly good playmakers, or are they good playmakers on paper? Because George Pickens looks like a guy that can give you a 1,800-yard season.
Mm-hmm.
Also looks like a jackass half the time on the sidelines. And looks more interested in complaining to coaches than he does being a dominant. And it, listen, there's a reason he was a late second round pick. If that kid ever got out of his own way and matured, he could be right up there with the most dominant wide receiver in the NFL. He's that good. He has that much talent. Okay, but has he done it yet?
He has not.
So that's it's so weird. Like, could I see them having three or four playoff teams? Could I see them finally doing the thing nobody's. Four playoff teams from the same division. Sure. But do I think everybody's just kind of pimping them up? I think right now I need to actually see this season play out, that this is going to be as ferocious as we thought. Remember, they're also playing the AFC West and the NFC East. Both divisions have at least two loaded teams in them. So it's not like you're playing the AFC South. No offense, the AFC South. But, like, it's not like you're playing, I would say, an easy division in your kind of out of division play. So, yeah, I think it's really intriguing. Like, I am more intrigued about how this division stacks up than I have been in most recent years. That doesn't mean I think they won't do it. I just think there's a lot more questions that people want to ask about any of the teams in this division, including the Browns.
I still think it runs through Baltimore. Where the MVP is the quarterback.
Yeah, but I think last year we said, I think it runs through Cincinnati. And granted, nobody can see Joe get hurt. I think this division, I think we do this every year. I'm not talking about you specifically, Dusty.
Okay.
I think we do this with whoever won the division last is who the division goes through. I think that's a testament to three of the four brands in this division. The only time we haven't said that in the last 6 years, and I say we, I'm talking more outside of Cleveland because we definitely said it in Cleveland. The only time people didn't say that about the division runs through whoever last won it was when the Browns won it in 2020, where it was like, well, that's a nice story. We'll see if they can duplicate it. So I'm not disappointed in the division. I don't think for certain that it's not going to be good. I just think it's really interesting. I think it's more interesting now going into this year. Because if you said, it's always some balance of what goes right and what goes wrong. If everything went right for all four teams at quarterback this year, you have maybe four legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Pittsburgh's probably the team I'm least confident in saying that, but certainly if Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, if all three starting quarterbacks were healthy, played 17 games, and played to their absolute best, any one of those three teams could win this division. Any one of those three teams could win 14 games. And the only reason we really throw Pittsburgh in there is this guy named Mike Tomlin who just doesn't lose.
He just don't lose, man.
And they've won in spite of quarterback play. You give him decent quarterback play and God knows what they can do. I just think that makes it really – but again, if everything goes wrong at quarterback, you're going to have a playoff team. Lamar all of a sudden starts having injury problems again, or certainly Joe Burrow. And if Joe gets hurt again, you're going to start to have Andrew Luck conversations about did the Bengals ruin him by not putting a good offensive line in front of him. Obviously, the Deshaun thing is the Deshaun thing. We'll actually get to that in the 4 o'clock hour. But yeah, I think there is a boom or bust factor present with the AFC North that I don't really feel like I felt that way about the AFC North for most of the time that I've covered the AFC North in my career, which again just makes it cool to me. And maybe I'm bored. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm...
It's just, you know what's nice is that finally the Browns are in the mix with the North, because it used to be, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Since he's had some moments, you know, even when they had Carson Palmer and that whole thing, you know, going to the playoffs, they didn't win any games, but the Browns are always just the bottom dwellers. Mm-hmm. And now they're not.
By the way, yeah. A little bit of an announcement coming in here. Announcers in EA Sports College Football 25 will depend on the magnitude of the game.
What do you mean?
So I'm meaning if it's Ohio State versus Alabama, you're gonna get the best announcers.
What, so they have backup announcers?
They've got
am I on the MAC coverage?
That actually would be the funniest thing if you didn't even know you were. They just took snippets from your previous games.
D Fox, little MAC football, Michael Red guy.
But how pissed?
Put us on the game, man.
How pissed am I gonna be when I take Bowling Green and it's Bowling Green versus Miami that first year, and it's like, I almost said you. I don't mean it like that. I mean, I'd be happy if you were in the game. But my point is, like, I'm expecting the game day crew, and I get like the not game day crew. I just realized I backed myself into a hell of a corner here.
Be nice.
It'd be great to
see
you.
I'm not the game day crew.
Yet?
Far from it.
Yet?
No, man. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.